And welcome to Eucharist 101 with the Red Sea Apostolate. I am your host, Evan Atkins, here with Red Sea's Vice President of Education and Evangelization, Deacon Robin Waters. How are you, sir?
I'm doing very well.
Oh, he didn't say blessed.
And I'm also blessed.
Oh, no. Oh. Every phone call I've ever had with this man, he says, I am blessed. And the one time he does not. All right, sir. Today we are going to be talking about, this is our second to last day, we're going to be talking about Eucharistic miracles. I don't know how much you all have heard of Eucharistic miracles or looked into Eucharistic miracles. Deacon, I know you've experienced a Eucharistic miracle.
Yes.
But Eucharistic miracles are, I would say, one of my passions. I've done this in just about every job I've been in.
Wow.
Is done a project on Eucharistic miracles. And it is a passion of mine because they are so cool. And typically, this is one of the kickers, typically you can actually go and see a scientifically verified miracle somewhere in the world.
Yeah.
And there's nothing science can say to say, this happened. They have
because
no
science
idea.
Science proved it.
The science said this became something else. This became something it should not have been. And we don't know how it happened.
Yeah.
And you can go and see them with your own eyes. And this is the crazy thing about Eucharistic miracles, a lot of them.
You know, it's kind of one of the cool things is in the past, science was used to disprove God.
Mm-hmm.
But as science is advancing, it's proving God.
Yes. Yeah. And it's such a beautiful thing. And there have been a lot of really great Christian and Catholic scientists over the years who have
done
a lot. And science absolutely is not opposed to Christianity.
Absolutely.
So without further ado, we're going to jump right into some of this stuff. There's a lot of, I wrote a little thing here. There's a lot of skepticism about the Eucharist. And, you know, people ask the question, is the Eucharist ordained by God as a sacrament, or is it a creation of the Catholic Church? Just as Jesus revealed to the children of Israel as the Messiah, just as Jesus was revealed to the children of Israel as the Messiah through his miracles, so too is his body and blood in the Eucharist continuously revealed to us through miracles in the present day. So over the centuries, you know, we've had the Bible, we have the church fathers, we have the saints to tell us that all this was handed down in the tradition of the church. But
right.
Even in our modern day, as people struggle with belief in the Eucharist and the sacraments, Jesus gives us these miracles to prove to us, to show us without beyond any shadow of a doubt that he is really in the sacrament. And one of the things we talked about the other day.
Before we go too far,
let's start this with a prayer. Thank you.
All right.
I got too excited.
Yeah, I know. Okay, let us pray in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for all of this time that you've given us to go through the different aspects of the Eucharist, which is you, your body, your blood, your soul, and divinity. And in this episode, as we talk about the Eucharistic miracles, we thank you for giving us these insights that we could no other way have, that reading it in a book or reading in the scriptures, all these things are great, but when we can touch and see the scientific research that proves that you are in the Eucharist, all we can do is thank and praise you. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. The Father, the Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for keeping me on track, Deacon Robin. I know I sometimes lose where I'm at, and I get a little excited in these things.
Mm-hmm.
But as we were talking about the other day, one of the ways Jesus proved himself to the children of Israel was through his miracles. That was actually the primary way that he proved himself, because he told the scribes and the Pharisees who were doubting him, he told them when they thought that he was casting out demons in the name of Satan, in the name of Beelzebul,
Jesus said that didn't work.
Yeah, he said that doesn't work. He says a house cannot stand divided. And they were saying, he must just be the devil trying to persuade us through these weird and crazy means. And Jesus says, no. God does not honor those who don't honor God.
Right.
He does not stand by those who do not stand with him. You see the miracles I have done. You see that they have done good and not evil. They have been for good and not for evil. And he says, a house divided cannot stand.
Yep.
And so we look at these Eucharistic miracles, and, you know, there's lots of questions. You can ask question after question after question about, well, does Jesus mean this? Is he really present in the Eucharist? Is The church says it's the unbloody sacrifice, but is he sacrificed every... You can ask all these questions. But the real truth of it comes down to, if Jesus weren't in the sacrament, why would he show us through the Eucharist, through these miracles of the Eucharist, not just transforming it into something else, not just making it disappear, not just, you know, some magic trick, but why does he change the actual bread into tissues?
Right.
Time and time again throughout history, there's hundreds of examples.
Dead tissue.
Not dead tissues, living tissues, living white blood cells in the blood, you know, blood capable of an immune response. Why does he do this? To show us that he is truly present in the Eucharist, to show us that the sacrament is real.
Yep.
Because sometimes we need a miracle.
Sometimes
need God needs to say, okay, what you are actually believing is real, and I'm going to prove it to you by making happen exactly what I say happen in a more visible sense than the typical miracle at Mass every day. The greatest miracle of all, when the body and blood are transubstantiated into...
That's right.
Or the bread and wine are transubstantiated into the body and blood of Jesus Christ. So I've talked a lot, but we're going to get into something I found through my research on this. And it's this resource by who is now Blessed Carlo Acutis. Many of you maybe have not heard of Blessed Carlo Acutis. I had not. Deacon, had you heard of Blessed Carlo Acutis?
I have not.
Okay. Blessed Carlo Acutis was born in 1991 in Italy and is truly a saint for our time. He was someone who loved to play video games and design websites. There's somebody who's for our time. But more than that, he had a deep love for Jesus in the Eucharist. He died just in 2006 of leukemia after a very short 15 years of life. But his impact has been far-reaching, and it continues to grow. He created perhaps the most comprehensive online resource for Marian apparitions, visions of angels and demons, mystical accounts of heaven, hell, and purgatory, and Eucharistic miracles. He created, there's four different databases, four separate websites, but you can find them all at carloacutis.org. And you have to translate it through your browser, but you can translate it. It's translated automatically into several different languages, and then you can find English on each of the different Eucharistic miracles, Marian apparitions, visions of angels and demons, then heaven, hell, and purgatory. And it goes through and it compiles all the writings of saints, of non-believers, of even some news accounts. It compiles all these things throughout the history of the church, and I'm sure there are more that perhaps were missed, but there's hundreds of these things, these hundreds of these articles. I couldn't read them all in preparation for this.
And he compiled all this.
He compiled all this before his death, because he knew that the Eucharistic miracles and visions and all these mystical things that happened, and if you discount the stories of hundreds of people, you're almost crazier than you're crazy.
Right. You know, I have a pretty, you know, I think I've heard the name before, but I have a really strong connection with this young man because, so he died in 2006 of leukemia. He was 15 years old. My son died in 2007 of leukemia at 18 years old.
Wow.
And he had a very strong faith as well. So, yeah, it means a lot that this young man was able to do this as a 15-year-old.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Going further, he held the deep-seated belief that the miracles of God, if only more Christians and non-believers could know about them, because so many people don't know about these miracles or these visions. He believed that they could bring about powerful grace of conversion. His case for sainthood was taken up, or has been taken up, and he was declared a venerable in 2018 and a blessed in 2020.
That's amazing.
Just a couple years ago, and his case for canonization continues on today. You can find this at, again, carloacutis.org, and then go through the different pages.
I'm going to go look at that.
But we're going to talk about a couple of different ones, specifically about the Eucharist today. First off, this is one that changed my life and belief in the Eucharist at a very young age. I was probably a very young teenager at the time.
Mm-hmm.
it's the miracle of Lanciano, Italy. This happened in 750 AD, 750 AD. Okay. So a very long time ago. But you can still go and see it today in Lanciano, Italy. Now, what happened was that a priest in the 17th century was struggling with belief in the Eucharist. He was struggling with belief in the true presence of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened was as he was giving the prayers of consecration, the host turned into flesh in his hands.
Wow.
750 AD. Now, he freaked out. You know, it's turning into beating flesh in his hands.
Mm-hmm.
He freaked out. But it was given to the bishop of that area, that Lanciano, Italy, took up the case and investigated it and right. declared it to be a miracle. Years and years and years later, the Archbishop of Lanciano in 1970, so
basically
50 years ago, did more investigation into this.
It's over 1,000 years later.
Yeah, over 1,000 years later. He called for this Dr. Edward Lanoli, director of the hospital in Arezzo and professor of anatomy, histology, chemistry, and clinical I don't know how to say these words. They're so medical.
Yep.
He asked him to perform a thorough scientific examination on the relics of the miracle, which had occurred 12 centuries earlier.
And they still had them.
They still had them. You can still go see them today.
Wow.
What he found was, one, the miraculous flesh is authentic flesh consisting of muscular striated tissue of the myocardium, the heart.
Heart.
Number two, they found that the miraculous blood is truly blood. The chromatographic analysis indicated this with absolute and indisputable certainty. Three, the immunological study shows with certitude that the flesh and the blood are human, and the immunohematological test allows us to affirm with complete objectivity and certitude that both belong to the same blood type AB, the same blood type as that of the man of the Shroud of Turin, and the type of most characteristic of Middle Eastern populations.
Yep.
Jesus was a Middle Eastern man.
Mm-hmm.
Four, they found that the proteins contained in the blood have the normal distribution in the identical percentage as that of a serous proteic chart for normal fresh blood. It's normal fresh living blood. It's not dead. It's not dried up. It's living blood.
Yep.
And five, no histological dissection has revealed any trace of salt infiltrations or any kind of preservative substances used in antiquity for the purpose of embalming. Nobody tried to preserve these. They're still fresh.
Still fresh today.
They're not dead.
And what year was this miracle?
750.
Wow.
And you can go to Lanciano, Italy. You can look this up and you can go and actually see where it is placed in a monstrance on display.
Man.
Now, here's where it gets crazy. And
That's not crazy enough?
It's not crazy enough. Now, listen to this. If you don't believe Dr. Edward Lanoli, because he was hired by a bishop,
mm-hmm.
the World Health Organization.
Okay.
You've heard of them.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe in recent years.
Yep.
The World Health Organization in 1973 also did some tests. They went to verify
mm-hmm.
Dr. Lanoli's findings.
Probably trying to disprove.
And their work lasted 15 months and included 500 tests.
Wow.
500 from the World Health Organization. And it was verified that everything he said was true.
Man, that's incredible.
Now, I promised you the crazy stuff. Now, one second, I have to find where it says this. I'm forgetting the exact details, I apologize. Essentially, the blood has dried into, I believe, five sections.
Mm-hmm.
Five coagulated pieces of blood. And it's held in a sort of a chalice, like a glass chalice you can see into.
Okay.
Today. And it's coagulated into five pieces. And any four pieces, they weigh them, and they weigh as much as any one piece. Isn't that crazy? I'm not making this up. Of the 500 tests, four pieces, any of the other pieces weigh as much as one piece. And any one piece weighs as much as any
four pieces. They all weigh the same.
They don't all weigh the same. One weighs as much as four, no matter which combination of one and four that you put.
Wow.
Jesus in this miracle has actually circumvented physics.
Yeah.
In a crazy way. Now, okay, so that is the one that changed my life back in my early teenage years.
How did you learn about that?
I believe actually it was, I believe, and I could be remembering this incorrectly, but I believe it was a Matthew Kelly video that I saw, Matthew Kelly being the author, Matthew Kelly. And he talked about this miracle, and I said, okay, well, science actually says it's true. Miracles actually happen?
Yeah, yeah.
Question mark? What?
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, I had to accept that there was a higher reality. There was something beyond the earth.
Right.
There is a God. And then it was a matter of finding out, well, if there is a God, what do we know about him? And which church is his?
Mm-hmm.
And it's just been evident to me that it's a Catholic church. We're going to move on here to, and I apologize, I'm going to mispronounce this. I failed. I didn't fail, but I did not remember anything of my,
Spanish
101 in college.
I never took it, so.
We're going to move on to the Eucharistic miracle of Tixla, Mexico.
Okay.
Which is one of the more recent ones, which happened in just October 21st of 2006.
Okay.
So very recent, very verifiable, and there's more scientific evidence in this one. So what happened was, this Father Leopoldo and another priest were distributing communion at this parish in Tixla, Mexico. And they were assisted by a religious sister who was to the left of Father Raimundo, who was the other priest. And this latter once turns toward him with the pyx containing the sacred particles. Looking at the priest with eyes filled with tears, an incident that immediately attracted the attention of the celebrant. The host that the sister had taken to give communion to a lady parishioner had begun to effuse a reddish substance. It was another instance of this host turning into actual living flesh. And as you can imagine, they did, the Bishop of Tixla decided to launch an investigation. And he launched this investigation the same way that the bishop from Lanciano had.
Right.
And they did scientific tests. They discovered all the same things. They've discovered real DNA of real human origin. They found that it originated from the interior, excluding the hypothesis that someone could have placed it from the exterior, meaning it happened inside of the pyx.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
Because it was sealed. The blood type is AB, same as the one found in Lanciano and the Shroud of Turin. They found that it is fresh blood. They found that it is living tissue. There are living lipids and living cells and white blood cells that have an immune response.
Wow.
They found essentially that it's that it has protein structures in a state of deterioration, suggesting, I'm trying, that's why I struggled here. There's a lot of medical terms, discovering or suggesting mesenchymal cells, very specialized cells characterized by an elevated biophysiological dynamism. Goodness only knows what that means.
Yeah, yeah.
But they also found immunohistochemical studies showing that the tissue corresponds to the heart. It is the heart. It is the living, beating heart of Jesus
Christ. It's
fresh
and living.
Yes.
Wow.
So, okay. That's very similar to Lanciano. What are some other ones that we have here? There's a miracle, Eucharistic miracle of Krakow. And by the way, there are hundreds of these miracles on that website. I will share on.
There's
the
books full of them.
Yeah, books full of them, and Carlo Acutis has dozens of these, hundreds of these. There's a miracle that happened in Krakow, Poland, in 1345. Essentially, what happened here was that a couple of thieves broke into a church and stole the tabernacle for the gold. They were trying to get the gold from the tabernacle, and they were trying to make some money off of it, and, you know, despicable as they were, they broke into church and decided to steal that.
Right.
And the host was inside. The consecrated host was inside. Mm-hmm. So what happens is these two thieves get away for the time being, realize that the tabernacle is not actually made of gold.
Oh, yeah.
And so they felt, oh, okay, well, there's no reason for us to keep it.
Right.
So they threw it into the swamp. They didn't want to be caught. They threw the tabernacle into the swamp. Now, sometime later, King Casimir III essentially launched a search party. And what they found was that where the tabernacle was in these swamps where nobody would go, mm-hmm. was shining bright lights. You could see for miles around.
Wow.
And it took them several days to get there, to actually find it. And they went and realized that it was the tabernacle. And what happened was that the bishop led them in 3 days of prayer and fasting before they went and actually approached it, before they retrieved it, because of the sacrilege that had happened. The reverence they had was that they wouldn't even just go and pull it out of the swamp, which is what you'd think to do.
Right.
The reverence they had for it was to go and
offer reparations.
Not
first.
React, but to offer reparations, pray and to fast for 3 days before going and retrieving it and placing it back. All because out of the hosts, they found the hosts themselves, not the tabernacle, not the tabernacle. Sorry, I'm getting my words mixed up. Not because the tabernacle was glowing, but the hosts inside of the tabernacle,
that's where the light
was
coming from,
were glowing, and they were showing this light. And so the hosts continued to glow for quite a while. Okay, last one, and then we'll get to a very personal experience of our very own deacon here, Deacon Robin. The Eucharistic Miracle of Turin. And I just found this one out. This is for all of you, maybe you men out there who would think of ransacking a church. Don't do it. Don't do it. No matter
what.
Bad
idea.
So, Turin, Italy. This is Italy in 1640. The French decided to invade. There was a war going on. And a French soldier... The French had ransacked a church. It's this church of St. Maria del Monte. And they killed civilians and they killed... But they did not kill the Capuchin friars, the Franciscan friars who were there. But a French soldier did break in and succeeded in prying open the tabernacle and reaching for the ciborium. As he opens the tabernacle, a ball of fire comes out at him.
Say what?
Scorches him. Lights him on fire, and he's there beating the flames off of him. He didn't die. This is God telling him, clean up your life.
Yeah.
Not God fully punishing him and ending him right there.
He gave him another chance.
But, you know, French, they were, you know, a lot of them were Catholics as well, and he's saying, you know, you've gone too far, change your ways. Lights him on fire. They stop ransacking the church and killing people. And the interesting thing is today you can go to this church of St. Maria del Monte and see his burned hand mark on the tabernacle.
No.
Yes. So if you didn't think it's real, you can actually go see.
It stayed.
You can see the hand mark on the tabernacle.
And what year was this?
This was 1640.
Wow.
And they say the door of the tabernacle still shows the imprint of the soldier's scorched hand. Yes. So if you happen to live in Italy... Or if you happen to be going to Italy.
Yeah, check that out.
Check out the Church of St. Maria del Monte and see if you can find the burned impression of his hand.
Isn't it amazing how blessed we are that God will do these kind of things for us? I mean, and these
but
are...
But you didn't feel blessed as the...
These are proven.
As a soldier.
Yeah, yeah. No. But yeah, but you're doing things you shouldn't be doing.
Yeah.
You know?
And I'm sure he changed his ways.
But how blessed we are to have these miracles for us to confirm what we've been talking about in this whole series, that the Eucharist truly is the body and blood of
and
Jesus.
Now, you know, I apologize if I've geeked out a little bit too much. I realize I've gotten into it here a little bit. Please forgive me, but I think it's really important to see that God actually works through the sacrament.
Oh, for sure.
And now with the last little bit here, we want to turn it over to Deacon Robin because he shared with me this morning that he has experienced the Eucharistic miracle.
Yeah, I didn't have one of a bleeding of a host that was bleeding that, mm-hmm. you know, as some of these you mentioned, but I had my own Eucharistic miracle And it was a couple of weeks before I was ordained a deacon. So this happened on March 6th of 2022. And I was ordained on March 19th, which is the Feast of St. Joseph. Mm-hmm. And I was at a retreat. It was a silent retreat, 4 days silent retreat. And you know, when you go on something like that, it takes a couple of days for your mind to finally wind down and get the outside world out. You know, you don't have a phone. Yeah. You don't have a television or any kind of communications to the outside world.
I'll pretend that I know and that I've gone on a silent retreat, which I haven't. But
and I was we were asked to do 3 holy hours a day praying over Scripture and listening to the Holy Spirit, what He was telling us relating to our vocation and our ministry. So I'm sitting in the chapel. I'm sitting in the front row on the far right side of this chapel, directly in front of the tabernacle. And I'm only about 5 or 6 feet away from the tabernacle. And it was a portable kneeler there, and it kind of had a working surface on it. So I had a pad, and I was writing down what I felt the Holy Spirit was telling me about these scriptures that I was praying over. Mm-hmm. And one of the leaders from the retreat, a deacon, came in, and he sat down at a pew next to me, and he was praying quietly. And next thing I know, he got up, and he opened the door to the tabernacle, and he stood up the luna, and the luna is the part of the monstrance in which the Eucharist, the host, is contained.
Yeah, so you have the monstrance, which is the sort of a handheld
big device
structure that holds the host.
Yeah, this right here
during adoration. Yeah, right. you can see it here. But inside of that monstrance is a detachable
right
luna. It's called this luna.
Yes,
which holds the host in glass.
Exactly, and you can take it out once you've mm-hmm. completed your adoration and placing yes. Jesus back in the tabernacle. Yes. So he opens the door, stands up the luna with Jesus in it, and when he did that, immediately I started hearing a heartbeat in my right ear. And I'm thinking, what's going on here? You know, I wasn't sure what was happening, but I noticed that each time I took my eyes off of Jesus in the Eucharist, that it would start to fade.
Hmm.
And so, but I could feel this. As I focused on him, he just got louder and louder. And as I really focused on the Lord, all of a sudden I started hearing this heartbeat in my left ear. And so now I'm thinking, okay, am I got some kind of medical situation?
Yeah, that's what
I was... Am I going to have a stroke here or something? But I just kept focusing on the Lord. And then I started having a pressure on my ears, like when you're landing in an airplane.
Mm-hmm.
It's like Jesus was in the room and he increased the pressure just by his glory.
Wow.
And so now I'm really wondering if there's something wrong with me, but I'm thinking it's the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the same heart that we're mm-hmm. talking about that these Eucharistic miracles test as heart tissue.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's what I feel that I'm hearing. And the deacon sitting over here to the left of me, and there's another guy in the back. They don't know what's going on. And at first I'm wondering, are they getting this too? But nobody's saying anything. I talked to them later, and they were not. And so, but every time I would take my eyes off of Jesus and try to document this, because I said, I may never have this again in my life. I need mm-hmm. to write this down. So I'm trying to write it down. But I started losing both the heartbeat and the pressure when I took my eyes off the Lord.
Same focus.
So I finally decided that he's telling me, focus on me. Focus on me. Don't worry about anything else. So I did. And so this is going on for, at this point, about 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this isn't like this happens in an instant. It's going on and on. And all of a sudden, as I'm focusing on Jesus in the luna, his face appeared.
Wow.
A clear
wow.
face. And I'm thinking, okay.
And did you know at that point?
Well, I guess I'm hard to convince because I still doubted. And I thought that maybe it was a reflection from some of the sacred art in the room.
Okay.
So I started looking around thinking, okay, is it reflecting from over here? But there was nothing in the room that looked anything like what I was seeing.
Mm.
And when I looked back, he was gone. I still had the heartbeat. I still had the pressure. But again, he was telling me, why are you doubting? Why are you looking around? I'm already giving you all these things, and you're still just like, is it real?
Like Gideon.
Yeah, it's terrible. And so I said, okay, Lord, I'm done doubting. I'm going to focus on you. So I focused back on Jesus in the Luna. And the next thing I know, the face of Jesus came back.
He came back.
And so as I'm sitting there just adoring the Lord, almost in tears, after about 10 minutes, the image changed. And it changed into an image of Jesus on the cross with Mary and John at the feet.
No.
The birth of the church.
Wow.
And I didn't turn away. And so as I continue to adore the Lord and Him giving me this unbelievable gift and blessing, all of a sudden, the heartbeat started to fade, and the pressure relieved, and the image went away.
Mm.
And at that same time, I looked down at my watch, and I noticed that I had been there exactly 1 hour, and we had been advised by our spiritual director that the enemy would try to influence us to cut our holy hours short or make them long.
But
he said, focus on 1 hour.
One way or the
other.
And
when I looked down after this all diminished, it was exactly 1 hour.
Oh, wow.
And so I got up and I left and I went to see my spiritual director because it was time. I had an appointment with him. And he advised me to spend the rest of that retreat praying and asking the Lord, what was he trying to tell me through this experience? Yeah. Why did he give me this gift?
Yes.
Was it just to say, I'm here, I know you're going to be ordained to be my servant in 2 weeks, I'm just trying to give you confidence, or is there a bigger meaning?
Yeah.
And so I did pray about that.
And did you find that bigger meaning?
I did.
What was it?
I did. Well, I kept praying, and a day and a half later, in adoration, Jesus gave me a message.
Like a message?
A message. And I couldn't hear it audibly. He just poured it into my brain.
Wow.
And I just wrote it down as fast as I could. And I just had to keep saying, Lord, slow down. I can't write that fast. And so I wrote it down. And at the end of the retreat, we were asked to share our experiences for the retreat. And so I got up and I read this letter to my classmates, because I realized that this letter wasn't just for me.
Mm.
It was for all these men that were being ordained. And then later, as I really prayed over what Jesus told me, and I've shared this with my church in a homily, this is really the message He's giving all of us. So this is a message for all of you that are watching this.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just, He gave it to me personally. I just happened to be the person that received it. But He really wants everyone to hear this message and to really try to live it. And so,
what was the message?
So this is what He told me. So Jesus said, I gave you this intimate experience with me this weekend to show you the importance of always keeping your focus and attention on me. This will be the key to any and all success in your future life serving me as a deacon. Your eyes, your gaze, your entire being should always be focused on me. If you lose that focus, succumb to distractions, or place anything ahead of me, your ministry will not be as fruitful as I desire it to be. Your ministry will only operate on a surface level. In many ways, it will be a farce. Many of the people you minister to will not grow to know me because you will have led them astray.
Mm.
However, if you keep your eyes focused on me, the author and perfecter of your faith, your ministry will flourish and you will bring many of my lost sheep back to me, their shepherd. When the enemy attacks, you will be clothed with the full armor of God, and their arrows and spears and stones will be deflected, and no harm will come to your soul. Stay strong, young man. Call upon the Holy Spirit and my blessed mother to comfort and protect you when you grow weary. Rest in my loving arms, in their loving arms. I am the good shepherd, but for a while I am giving you charge to care for many of my sheep. I know you will not run as a hired hand would when the wolves attack, because you are a child of God, an adopted son of my Father. You are my brother. As baptized Christians, we are all baptized priest, prophet, and king.
Mm-hmm.
So this message to keep our eyes focused on the Lord is for all Christians.
Yeah.
And if we do that, if we keep our eyes focused on the Lord, even throughout all the distractions in life, He is going to bless us to help others grow closer to the Lord.
Yeah.
That's our job as baptized and confirmed Christians.
It's not just you. It is a message for everybody, especially everybody here, but everybody out there too. If you stop praying as a family, your family stops growing closer to God.
You've got problems. You've got to
you need
integrate everything to the Lord.
You need to give everything to God. And that message, which was for you at the time,
right,
is a message for all of us that we need to integrate Catholic teaching into our daily life.
Amen.
So with that, we're going to wrap this episode up. We're going to talk a little bit about how you can integrate this into your daily life as a family. And just one of the ways is go to that carloacutis.org.
Yes.
And look up those miracles.
Get confirmation on those miracles.
Look up those miracles yourself. You know, don't just take my word for it. I can misspeak. You can mishear. Look it up for yourself. And not only that, but share it. Share it with your kids. Share it with your wife or husband. Share it with your friends. Share it with on social media even. Don't just let these miracles sit in isolation.
Exactly.
As they have, obviously, because
most
people don't know these. These miracles do have the power to prove to us,
right,
all that Jesus said. So look them up. There's hundreds of them. Do some research. Again, carloacutis.org. And then share that with others.
Yep.
I think, unless, do you have anything to add to that, Deacon?
No, I just agree that that's the way to integrate what we're teaching about the Eucharist into your daily life is to do that study yourself. And if you have any doubts, there's quite possibly could clear it up.
Yeah. So we'll call that it for episode 6 of Eucharist 101, our final episode that you and I will be doing together, Deacon.
Right.
We've got one more episode, and I'll talk about that in a second. If you found us through one of our marketing campaigns, then check back in your inbox tomorrow, where you'll find a link to the next episode in your email. Or if you're listening here on podcast or YouTube, then simply check back here tomorrow for the next episode, the final episode in this installment, or click subscribe and hit the notifications so that you are notified on your phone whenever we drop a new episode. And this will not be our last course. This is just the kickoff. We will be giving you many more of these.
We'll probably be getting better too.
Hopefully every iteration, you know, hopefully God will continue to bless us here.
We're rookies.
Very first time. So, with that, tomorrow we're going to do something a little bit different. We were going to share with you a long-form, in-depth interview on something that we've mentioned a couple times throughout, namely the Eucharistic revival that's taking place in the United States, the Catholic Church within the United States. For that, we will have another couple of deacons.
Yep.
One of whom is Deacon Dan Lupo, who was one of your formators, Deacon.
And an expert on the Eucharistic revival.
Mm-hmm. He sits on the Committee on Eucharistic Revival for the Catholic Diocese of Austin, Texas.
Yep.
You'll hear it straight from the source. They'll be talking about what is he and I should say Deacon Mike, who is another deacon on our on the Red Sea Board of Directors,
yep,
and another radio host for, yep, Red Sea Roundup.
Right.
He does this interview. This is from last year when the revival kicked off. You'll get this full-length interview on what the Eucharistic Revival is, why it's taking place now, and how you can get involved and learn more, and how you can continue to integrate and learn more about the Eucharist every single day. And
it's an excellent interview. I enjoyed it.
I listened to that back. We have a lot of episodes on the Eucharist, and I was trying to find the right one for this, mm-hmm, course, and that one immediately stuck out as, okay, this is really, really good. So
yeah.
I encourage you to listen to that. We'll be sharing that with you tomorrow. Here at the Red Sea Apostolate, we are committed to helping families integrate Catholic teaching into the context of daily life. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to tune in tomorrow, but also check out our other Red Sea productions, podcasts, courses, and events. or you can listen to live Catholic radio 24/7 on KEDC 88.5 FM in the Brazos Valley, KYAR 98.3 FM in Central Texas, or if you don't live in Texas, you can listen anywhere in the world at on our mobile app, Red Sea mobile app. And of course, you can find all of this information and more at redcradio.org. That's red, the letter C, radio.org. Thank you again for listening. We appreciate your time and attention through all of this. I'll be back briefly for tomorrow's episode to set up the interview between Deacon Mike and Deacon Dan Lupo. But Deacon Robin, thank you for joining me. Thank you for sharing your expertise and all the work you did to put into this.
Thank you.
From the both of us and from everyone here at Red Sea.
And for our producer, Caleb.
Oh, and Caleb, sorry. I'm forgetting Caleb here.
He's been working his tail off all day.
He works in the same office as I do, so he's going to get mad at me tomorrow. but anyways, from all of us here at Red Sea, thank you for listening. Thank you for trusting us to give you, to share with you the truth. Please know that you're in our prayers, and please keep us in yours. Deacon, would you give us a final blessing?
Absolutely. Oh God, by whose word all things are made holy, pour out your blessings upon all those listening to the Eucharist 101 series, and grant that as they live their lives in accordance with your will and law, and with the spirit of thanksgiving, that they may experience by your power health in body and mind and protection in soul as they invoke your most holy name through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
And may Almighty God bless all of you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
All right, that's it from us here at Red Sea for episode 6. God bless, and we'll hope to see you all tomorrow.
God bless.